නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ Last couple of weeks, actually, we discuss few suttas which are particularly recited by Venerable Sariputta. And today I thought of discussing few suttas discussed by Venerable Moggallana. So this is also a very interesting series, and there are several suttas compiled together in the connected discourses. Sangyutta Nikaya, and it is mentioned as Moggallana Sangyutta. Starting with the first jhana, so to some extent, as you know, that Venerable Sariputta is the foremost in psychic powers. So of course he has to have all the possible jhanic experiences, and on top of that he has to master the jhana. So that means he is the example for jhanic practices. But interestingly, he was not perfect at the beginning. So those are interesting actually for our practice, because sometimes when we are developing a samadhi, mind can get distracted and we might get discouraged, because the books are telling, okay, you have to stay there for 10 minutes continuously without any distraction, but we get distracted. And sometimes, okay, the teachers might instruct us to stay there in the samadhi continuously for a particular period, but we get distracted. So sometimes we might get disheartened, we might get discouraged. But as we can see from the coming suttas, Venerable Sariputta, who being the foremost in the psychic powers, also at his early stages during his training, he too has gone through some ups and downs, certain shortcomings, and Buddha has helped him. Buddha again and again came forward and instructed Venerable Moggallana to correct himself. Now we can start with the first jhana. So the first jhana, the name is given as the first jhana sutta. So on that occasion, actually Maha Moggallana was dwelling in the Savatthi, Anathapindika's grove, where he addressed the monks. So, idam mahang avuso rahogatasse. Patisallinase evanchetaso parivitakko udapati. Here friends, and I was dwelling in seclusion, a reflection arose in my mind. So, some time back he went through this experience. It is said the first jhana, the first jhana. What is first jhana? So he was basically kind of going through some reflection, some sort of a vitakka with respect to first jhana. So what is first jhana? Then he get to know, as the Buddha's statement, katannuko kataman jhanang jhanati, idabhikkave vivicheva idabhikku vivicheva kamehi vivicchakusalehi dhammehi savitakkan savicharang vivekajam pitisukham patamajjhanam upasampajja viharati. So this is the typical stock phrase used in the suttas explaining about the first jhana. That means secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from unwholesome states, a bhikkhu enters and dwells in the first jhana, which is accompanied by thought and examination, with rapture and happiness born of seclusion. This is called the first jhana. Now when I mention like this, probably you might think, okay, accompanied by thought and examination, probably is I feel little bit of erroneous kind of translation here. Now here thought is not that the mind is thinking. Now thinking mind is different and jhanic experience is different. So one can't attain jhana while thinking. So thinking has to be fairly stopped. Inner chatter has to be fairly stopped. So mind has to be tranquil, mind has to be calm, and one has to reach a mind which is fairly peaceful. And here the typical explanation about vitakka, that's a term translated as thought, is actually not that the mind is thinking, rather again and again mind is applied to a particular object. Suppose that you are practicing anapanasati, and while you are continuing anapanasati, assume that your mind get establishing the object, continuous attention on in breath and out breath, so you can see the mindfulness is established now. Typically mind wanders, jump from past to the present, but now it is well established continuously on breathing. Now here, as a result of mindfulness of on breathing, so this typical vitakka, that means typical thinking, fairly subsides, and mind become fairly calm, because anapanasati particularly recommended by the Buddha for vitakku paccedaya, that means to cut off thinking. So the cutting off thinking can be handled, can be achieved through anapanasati. So once one reaches a fair amount of concentration, that means your thinking is basically stopped, but mind is in full operation, and again your mind is capable of applying it to breathing. Now here also we can see we are talking at the early stage. Now again and again, now the mind is applied to breathing, in breath, out breath, in breath, out breath. So likewise continuously now the process is going on, so mind can't get into any kind of a lapse or any kind of a lethargic state, rather it has to be fully attentive, fully vigilant. So as a result of this powerful vitakka, active vitakka, the laziness of the mind or sloth and torpor of the mind can't arise. So the nivarana, the hindrance, sloth and torpor is abandoned as a result of this activated vitakka. Again and again the mind is applied to in-breath and out-breath. Continuously it's happening. It can't take a break. It has to be fully active, fully involved in this process. And that is one thing. And then actually one is observing the breathing. It is not mere applying the mind. Once you apply it to the object, you do a little examination of the object. You are simply touching the object carefully. And here examination and the vipassana type of examination is slightly different. The vipassana type of examination, you are going to very penetrative level. But here at the samadhi type of meditation, we are not going to such. Rather, what we do is kind of a surface touching. Surface level, superficial type of touching you do. So that vichara is there, but it is enough to know now this is the in-breath, this is the out-breath. You are not tangled in anything, you are not confused in anything, you are not doubtful about anything. Rather, you know, okay, exactly this is the in-breath, you know exactly this is the out-breath. So doubt is not there. Vichikicca nivarana, the hindrance, doubt is abandoned as a result of this powerful vichara, the examination of the thought or examination of the object, what we call as the vichara. So that is also there. Now we found now two components, vitakka and vichara. And after that, so as a result of this practice, now basically the mind become calm, quiet, and again the object is there, object also fairly serene. Now you get a natural kind of a rapture, little bit of happiness, little bit of inner joy is now arising. So when the joy, this happiness, rapture is there, ill will is not possible to arise. So another hindrance, ill will is abandoned, because your mind is now happy. Basically happy in the sense rapturous type of mind. The piti is there. Piti is the term used for rapture in Pali. where the mind become fairly happy about what's going on. So piti is there. It basically causes to abandon ill will. Now, when it is also growing, now you might even have a slight smile. It is a natural one, and your body starts like floating. You feel quite tranquil. So the bodily tranquility, mental tranquility are there, and you feel happy because of this state. Previously, you have gone through some bodily aches and pains, but now no more. So the body also giving its full support. So basically, so the body support is also there, mind support is also there, the tranquility is also there. So therefore, sukha, the happiness part is now available. As a result of that, mind likes to stay inside. Mind likes to stay in this process because it is pleasurable. It is joyful. So that's the hindrance uddacha kukkuccha. Worry and the restlessness is now abandoned. Because mind likes to stay within the object, because object is a pleasurable type of object now. Even though we call it as pleasurable, it is not a mundane, worldly type of pleasure, but an unworldly kind of pleasure. Niramisa piti. Niramisa type of happiness. So this happiness, joy, or we can say the sukha, is therefore helpful to abandon uddaccha kukkuccha, the restlessness and worry. Another hindrance is abandoned. And now, one principle for samadhi is the kind of happiness available within. Sukhino chittan samadhiyati. So when the mind is happy, when the mind is comfortable while being in the body, in the mind, so in such case, is quite conducive for the mind to get concentrated. Ekaggata, the concentration is now available, because now all necessary conducive causes are available. So the mind gets fairly concentrated, mind doesn't want to get distracted. So this concentration, this ekaggata, is completely opposite to kamachanda. The nature of the kamachanda, the sensual desire, is to jump from one object to the other, not being happy with the current happiness. Currently available pleasure is not enough, so you are jumping from one object to the other. So that is the typical nature of the kamachanda. But now mind is fully concentrated, one-pointed, and as a result of that, kamachanda is also abandoned. Now you can see the jhana factors. Vitakka, applied mind, is abandoning sloth and torpor. Vichara, the examination part, abandons the doubt. Piti, the rapture, abandons the ill will. Sukha, the happiness, abandons uddacha kukkuccha, restlessness and worry. And then the ekaggata, concentration, abandons kamachanda, the sensual desire. So you can see that the all hindrances are now attacked, all hindrances are now suppressed. Instead, five jhanic components or jhana factors are fully strengthened. Vitakka, vichara, piti, sukha, ekaggata. Now, when these jhana factors are fully available, so we can call it as first jhana. Now, the depth of the jhana is another factor we need to consider, because here I am simply explaining with respect to breathing. Within breathing, so you can achieve these five factors without getting to extreme depth. So one can't deny that one is in the first jhana, but not into a very deep absorption. Now, if one wants to attain deep absorption, one has to go further, and one has to use what we call the counterpart sign. So typically, anapanasati produce such kind of a counterpart sign. For people who are more into the samatha practice, they may be aware. So different kinds of signs may arise, and ultimately one sign become fairly stable, and we call it as anapanasati nimitta, the sign of concentration. So it might sometimes appear like a cloud, maybe like a light, and maybe very beautiful, maybe attract you. So usually you get attracted to that, and it can become more wider and sort of brighter, and the breathing process now slowly become secondary, and this object, this nimitta, this sign become more brighter and attractive, and it becomes the primary object. At one given moment, you get absorbed to that. So there are also the jhana factors are available. There you are again and again applying your mind to this object, what we call the counterpart sign. So the vitakka is there, and you are being with it, vichara is there, and while there you are happy, piti is there, and tranquility, bodily tranquility, mental tranquility are there, the happiness is there, so that the uddacca kukkuccha is abandoned, and you get completely absorbed to this, and the ekaggata is there. So there actually one can attain jhana in a more deep way. So therefore, when we are talking jhana, what depth one might achieve is another factor one has to consider. So one can attain jhana at a fairly shallow level, another one can attain jhana at a very deep level. Now, if we get back to the sutta, now Venerable Mahamoggallana, what he is telling here now? Now, that as we just discussed, so one prerequisite for first jhana to happen is that vivicheva kamehi, one has to abandon all the sensual pleasures, secluded from sensual pleasures, vivicheva kamehi. That means that you can't have first jhana while mind is going through some sensual desires. Kamachanda has to be fully abandoned. And then vivicheva kamehi vivicha akusalehi dhammehi. Another phrase is there telling vivicha akusalehi dhammehi. So you have to be secluded from all unwholesome states as well. Particularly referring here is the five hindrances. So the five hindrances are also have to be abandoned. Now these are the prerequisites. But interestingly, Venerable Moggallana is saying here, now while I am staying in that jhana, tasamayam auso imina viharena viharato kama sahagata sanya manasikara samudacharanti. Now my mind get overwhelmed by certain sensuality related perceptions. While I dwelt therein, perception and attention accompanied by sensuality assailed me. Now that means his jhana is not perfect. Now this is being observed by the Buddha. Now what happened then? Atako mang auso bhagava iddhya upasankamitva etadavocha. Moggallana moggallana ma brahmana pataman jhanang pamadu. Patame jhane chittang santapehi. Patame jhane chittang ekodin karohi. Patame jhane chittang samadhati. So now Buddha is instructing, because Buddha has seen that the jhanic practice of Venerable Moggallana is not perfect. Now he wants to correct him. So he came by psychic powers, and then he instructed Venerable Moggallana, okay, you are making a mistake. While you are in the jhana, you are not making it perfect. Rather, again, the mind is going to sensual desires. So you need to correct it. So keep the mind continuously on the jhana without interrupting it, without allowing it to slip back to the sensuality. Stay here. Stay well concentrated. Then once Buddha went off, so Venerable Moggallana continued his practice, and later he was able to make it fairly perfect. Now at another occasion, so he is explaining, I have attained the same jhana, I have attained the first jhana again, but there is no such issues, there are no any discrepancies, there are no any shortcomings. I was fully absorbed, I was fully with the jhanic experience, no more disturbances. So I have gone through a perfect type of first jhana. Now On a later occasion, secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from unwholesome states, I entered and dwelt in the first jhana, which is accompanied by thought and examination with rapture and happiness born of seclusion. So I am perfected. Now you can see, in a way, it's very interesting. So it is not an easy task. So one have to, when the mind is not yet attained any kind of a maggapala, so the fair amount of sensual desires and all sorts of hindrances are available. So they might come again and again. They might attack the mind again and again. So jhana has to be a stronger one in order to abandon it. So that's why sometimes people prefer deep jhana, where the depth of the concentration avoids any kind of arising of any thoughts, because you are in a very deep absorption. But on the other hand, if one is able to achieve a shallow type of first jhana, you might easily get disturbed because still the defilements are powerful. But later occasion, probably, assume that someone has attained Maggapala and he was able to completely abandon certain fetters, completely uprooted, and the other fetters are also fairly weakened. In such case, you can attain first jhana at a very shallow level even. There is no any disturbance. Because the previous case, we have to attain first jhana at a very, very deeper level. Otherwise, we might get disturbed because the hindrances are powerful, the defilements are powerful. But as we continue the vipassana practice, so the hindrances are fairly subsided and certain hindrances might even completely cut off. So you are not much under the influence of defilements. So one can attain jhana, first jhana, even at a shallow level. No much harm. So therefore, there is a kind of an argument whether the Buddha and the Arahants on those times, have they really attained extremely deep jhana, or have they encouraged shallow jhana? So it's a very interesting argument actually made by Venerable Analeo, where he argues, during the Buddha's time, it is not that the depth of the jhana which really encourage, but as a result of abandoning of defilements, even one is attaining jhana at a shallow level. So that seems to be encouraged. Because you know that the abandoning of defilements is given the very, very important role, not the jhanic experience, not the attainment in a particular jhana absorbing and then spending hours there. Rather, Buddha seems to have encouraged abandoning of defilements and ultimately achieved full enlightenment by abandoning all the defilements, completely cutting off all the fetters, completely cutting off all the influxes, asavas. So that means that monks are fairly encouraged to abandon defilements. Pahanaramo pahanaratu. So that's a statement made in the Aryavamsa Sutta, where one has to be fully geared, fully attuned in abandoning defilements. That becomes one's basic motivation, basic kind of a determination. So if such determination is there in one's mind, so one is slowly abandoning the defilements, weakening them. So the added advantage or the benefit is one can attain jhana at a very shallow level even, because there is no harm, there is no any hindrance, there is no any interruption, because the defilements are far away, they are fairly weakened. You don't need to go to an extremely deep absorption even to maintain the first jhana. You can even attain that at a shallow level. Now this is a different case anyway. Now here, Venerable Moggallana is now thanking the Buddha at a late occasion. He is telling like this. Yanghitang auso samma vadamano vadeya. Sattara nuggahito savako mahabinyatang pattoti. Mamantang samma vadamano vadeya. Sattara nuggahito savako mahabinyatang pattoti. So basically he is now the foremost in the psychic powers. He has perfected all the jhanas. Not only that, he has mastered all the jhana, and he is the foremost in a way, we can say, the upadobhaga vimutta arahants. Because upadobhaga vimutta arahants means that they have the capacity in the wisdom side as well as in the samatha side. Both sides are available. They can attain any jhana, they can master the jhana, that is also there. On the other hand, all the defilements are cut off, asavas are also cut off, that is also there. Panya vimutti side is also there. Now, Venerable Moggallana is one of them. So you can see, so he later actually praised the Buddha and he is so grateful to the Buddha. He is telling here, if friends, one speaking rightly, could say of anyone, he is a disciple who attained to greatness of direct knowledge with the assistance of the teacher. It is for me that one could rightly say this. On one sense, we can see how grateful Venerable Moggallana is, what a type of gratitude he is having towards the Buddha. And he hasn't forgot about the assistance that he received from the Buddha, the encouragement and the guidance that he received from the Buddha. He, even after being the Arahant, he referred that. That's a very interesting quality, the gratitude part. Katanyu katavedita. So you are being gratitude, you have that deep gratitude within yourself towards the Buddha, because he is the one has seen the fault, quickly arise, quickly came and quickly mentioned to Venerable Moggallana. So Venerable Moggallana still can remember it. He appreciate it. Now we'll go to the second jhana also, because with very same similar order, actually these all suttas are going through. So what is the second jhana? So the second jhana, so actually there are the differences, number of jhana factors. The first jhana actually have 5 jhana factors. In the second jhana, according to the sutta tradition, it has only 3 jhana factors. Vitakka and vichara are abandoned. So therefore the stock phrase is like this. Ida bhikkhu vitakka vicharanam upasama ajjattam sampasadanam tejaso eko dibhavam avitakkam avicharam samadhijam pitisukam dutiyam jhanam upasampajja viharati. Now previous case you can remember all the 5 factors are there, and vivekajam pitisukam is the last statement. Vivekajam pitisukam, where you have the happiness, rapture, which has arisen because of the seclusion. Now here in the second jhana, samadhijam piti sukam, instead of vivekajam piti sukam, where the samadhi is quite strong. So the one disadvantage in the first jhana is where mind still has little bit of wavering, because again and again the mind has to be applied towards the breath or towards the counterpart sign. So there's a little fluctuation is there, little movement is there in the mind, which is little disturbing. So this is the kind of bottleneck, this is the kind of disadvantage or shortcoming in the first jhana. So when one is continuing practicing first jhana, he might notice this, not at the immediate level, but later he may understand, okay, still mind has some sort of a movement. This is actually closer to the Nivarana, because you know the mind is little bit of restless in a way. So Uddaccha, not to the level that you get completely distracted to altogether different objects, rather little bit of movement is there. It's going out again, coming back, going out again, coming back. So sometimes a little bit of movement is there. And once you arrive at the object, you do that. You need to do the examination also again and again. That's also a little tiresome. So you have seen the tiresome disadvantage of vitakka and vichara, and one might want to attain the second jhana, which is free from vitakka and vichara. Only once you attain, in the sense that you apply your mind to the particular object and you do the examination, and you completely absorb to that now. There is no repeated examination, there is no repeated applying. Once you applied and did the first examination, you are done. You are there. You are completely with the object. So the concentration wise, it is more powerful. So that's why samadhijang pitisukhang, that means the samadhi is so powerful in the second jhana. Compared to the first jhana, it has more concentrated. Mind is not wavering, mind is fairly stable, mind remains absorbed with the object without any kind of a movement. So this is called the second jhana. So if we recite the Pali phrase, vitakka vicharanam upasama ajjattam sampasadanam chetaso ekodi bhavam avitakkam avicharam samadhijam piti sukam dutiyan jhanam upasampajja viharati. So Venerable Moggallana explains it, and where internal confidence and unification of mind is without thought and examination and has rapture and happiness born of concentration, this is called the second jhana. So here the concentration is the prominent part. It has completely avoid any kind of a movement of the mind. So the mind is very steady, and there is no applied thought and examination, and still the piti, sukha, ekagata are available. So you feel happy particularly, because no hindrances and no wavering, mind is completely fixed and you feel happy. The piti sukha is fairly prominent. And now interestingly, here also Venerable Moggallana says, so while there tassamaiham avaso imina viharena viharato vitakka sahagata sanya manasikara samudacharanti, again thoughts and examination assailed me. So mind again go out of the object, and again I have to come back. So that means he has still some discrepancies, still some shortcomings while in the second jhana. Now Buddha noticed this. Now this Venerable Moggallana is practicing second jhana. He is trying to master second jhana, but still shortcomings are there. So Buddha has noticed it. Again Buddha came through his spiritual powers, and he is telling to Moggallana, 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 do not be negligent, Brahmin, regarding the second jhana. Steady your mind in the second jhana. Unify your mind in the second jhana. Concentrate your mind in the second jhana. So he is advising him, Dutiyan jhanam pamadu. Ma dutiyan Moggallana, ma brahmana dutiyan jhanam pamadu. Dutiye jhane chittang santapehi. Dutiye jhane chittang ekodin karohi. Dutiye jhane chittang samadhati. So he is asking Venerable Moggallana to be steady. You have to fully establish in the second jhana. Do not allow the mind to get wavered. Do not allow the mind to get shifted. You need to do a little bit of adjustment. You need to do a refinement. Make it perfect. And later Venerable Moggallana was able to achieve it. So now he is telling, aparena samayena vitakka vicharanam upasama ajjattam sampasadanam chetaso ekodi bhavam avitakkam avicharam samadhijam pitisukam tutiyan jhanam upasampajja vihasing. So he was able to perfect it. Now he has achieved the second jhana. There are no any shortcomings. He is able to achieve it to the full strength. So again he is telling the other monks, if friends one speaking rightly could say of anyone, he is a disciple who attained to greatness of direct knowledge with the assistance of the teacher, it is of me that one could rightly say this. So he is having that gratitude, because he can remember how he was not perfect, how he was going through some imperfections, and how Buddha has noticed it and quickly appeared in front of him and instructed him properly, encouraged him, advised him, and he was able to correct himself. So we go to the third jhana. So the case in the third jhana is that while in the second jhana, as one is continuing that, so one might achieve some sort of excess piti. Rapture is more prominent. Now you know that rapture here might be felt even to the body. You might get goosebumps, you might feel like wavy, certain waves are coming and going, the body is somewhat become vulnerable. So when body become little vulnerable, the mind also can be little shaked. So this is a little bit of over type of rupture. So rupture is not a very soft factor, rather it's little overwhelming. So the bodily balance, mental balance could be little disturbed because of the rupture. Now this is the disadvantage of the second jhana, where the rupture become prominent. Now one want to abandon that now. Now he is thinking of abandoning rupture. Now he is now attaining the rupture, third jhana, by abandoning rupture. So let me take that third one. So here, the stock phrase going like this. Ida bhikkhu pitiyacha viraga upekkakocha viharati satocha sampajano sukhancha khayena patisangvedeti yantang arya achikkhanti upekkako satima sukavihariti tatiyan jhanang upasampajja viharati. Now this is the statement typically explaining about the third jhana, where I was alone in seclusion, a reflection, here with the fading away as well as of rapture, a bhikkhu dwells equanimous and mindful and clearly comprehending. He experiences happiness with the body. He enters and dwells in the third jhana, of which the Noble One declares, he is equanimous, mindful, one who dwells happily. This is called the third jhana. So third jhana experiences more into the contentment, more into the happiness. It's a little mature type of happiness. There are no goosebumps, so there are no bodily waving waves type of things. So it's a very pleasant, serene type of an experience, because one has abandoned the gross type of rupture. So once rupture is abandoned, still the mind is happy, but it's a kind of a very serene, kind of stable kind of happiness. And now Venerable Moggallana explains here, but while there, tasamaiham aso imina viharena viharato piti sahagata sanya manasikara samudacharanti. Now still the second jhana parts are again and again interrupting me. The second jhana is the one having the piti, the rupture. Third jhana has to be fully free from piti. It has to be more mature type of happiness that one has to experience. But unfortunately here, Venerable Moggallana is telling, I actually has gone through time to time some sort of a piti, some sort of a rough type of happiness, some sort of a rough type of pressure is going through. So this is noticed by the Buddha. So there again he appeared and he instructed Venerable Moggallana, ma tatiyan jhane pamadu tatiye jhane cittang santapehi tatiye jhane cittang ekodin karohi tatiye jhane cittang samadhati. Now Buddha is instructing, okay, don't mistake the third jhana, don't may allow the mind to get into some rough states. Keep it at a subtle level. Don't make any mistakes. Buddha is instructing Venerable Moggallana, and later he was able to achieve it. And there again, once he achieved it, he again mentioned to these monks, if friends who are speaking rightly could say of anyone, he is a disciple who attained to greatness of direct knowledge with the assistance of the teacher, it is of me that one could rightly say this. Again, he is showing his gratitude towards the Buddha. Now, if we go to the fourth jhana, now the fourth jhana, even the happiness is abandoned, instead equanimity is highlighted. Now, here ඉදබික්කු සුකස්සච පහනා දුක්කස්සච පහනා පුබ්බේම සෝමනස්ස දෝමනස්සානං අත්තංගමා අදුක්කම සුකං උපෙක්ඛා සති පාරිසුද්ධින් චතුත්ථ ජහනං උපසම්පජ්ජ විහෙරති. Now here with the abandoning of pleasure and pain and with the previous passing away of joy and displeasure, a bhikkhu enters and dwells in the fourth jhana, which is neither painful nor pleasant, and includes the purification of mindfulness by equanimity. This is called the fourth jhana. Now certain salient features of the fourth jhana is now mind is extremely focused. One is typically being swayed by happiness and the pain. Now, pain and happiness are two opposite sides. So, when mind get going through some happiness, pleasure, you get attracted to it. When the body or the mind going through some pain, despair, you get distracted from it. So, the attractions and distractions are causing some sort of a disturbance to the mind. So the feelings are these two, pleasurable feelings and the painful feelings. So when one is going through pleasurable feelings, you get attracted. When one is going through painful feelings, you get distracted. Distracted in the sense, kind of repelled. Now, if you are able to abandon both of these, there are no pleasurable feelings, there are no painful feelings. So completely those two are abandoned. So you might be able to have a fairly stable mind. So the mind becomes fairly equanimous. In terms of the feeling tone, now what one is experiencing is the equanimity, which is more and more concentrated, which is more and more steady. So that in the third jhana, still some sort of a happiness is there. So mind might have certain kind of wavering, certain kind of movement that is also gross as one is continuing in that. So mind become more and more refined and one might even notice that little disturbance. Now one wants to abandon even that disturbance and want to achieve the fourth jhana. So one may achieve fourth jhana by abandoning even that happiness. With the abandoning of pleasure and pain and with the previous passing away of joy and displeasure, a bhikkhu enters and dwells in the fourth jhana, which is neither painful nor pleasant. Now, interestingly here, mindfulness has come to its best form. The equanimity is there and mindfulness is fairly purified. Mind is in general equanimous. This is called the fourth jhana. But here, Venerable Moggallana is telling, even though I have to be perfect there, but imina viharena viharato sukha sahagata sanya manasikara samudacharanti. I went through some sort of pressure where I supposed to be in equanimity. So certain segments, certain parts of third jhana again appearing in the mind, but he is supposed to be in the fourth jhana. Now this is the shortcoming. Now Buddha has noticed it. And now Buddha appeared in front of Moggallana and instruct, okay, don't make any defects in the fourth jhana. Make it more perfect. Dwell in the equanimity perfectly. So Buddha has instructed and then he went away. And Venerable Moggallana was able to achieve it. And later, similarly, he actually praised the Buddha. If friends one speaking rightly could say of anyone, he is a disciple who attained to greatness of direct knowledge with the assistance of the teacher. It is of me that one could rightly say this. So we have covered the four suttas talking about the rupavachara jhana, the four material jhanas, and we can have a discussion with respect to these four suttas. Somewhat similar, same pattern, and Moggallana is explaining them. And with that, I will conclude today's sutta teaching session. Now, I will open the session for questions. Have a question?
Yes,
yeah, okay. There's a question coming from Venerable Dhamma Vijita. Yeah.
Excuse me. Shanti, for your teaching. I noticed in the first jhana, when the Buddha or when Moggallana started to feel rapture, he was feeling sensual pleasure and getting sort of attached to sensual pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense that maybe that was this. He's feeling the pleasant, the sukha and the piti, and that maybe he's getting sort of paying too much attention to that pleasure that's arising with.
Here he's not an arahant. Or not even an anagami. So as far as I can see, he's still only a sotapanna.
Okay.
Because you know that he has attained sotapanna level by going through the verse uttered by the Venerable, so that is the Upatissa, that is the Venerable Sariputta. So
yeah.
He met Venerable Assaji and he learned that Yedamma Hetu Bhavava, that verse.
Yeah.
And while hearing that, after hearing it, so Venerable Moggallana, that is the Kolita, attained the Sotapanna. After that only he actually became the monk, coming with the Upatissa. And I feel now these incidents are after that.
So now
he is practicing under the guidance of the Buddha, not yet an arahant, but only a Sekapuggal, only a Sotapanna.
Okay.
Now he is continuing his practice, so the possibility is there for him to have sensual pleasures or sensual desires arising in the mind. That is how actually you know that the Sotapanna is still have the sensuality.
Okay.
Kamaraga patiga are still available in the Sotapanna.
Mm-hmm.
So the sensuality related thoughts are possible in his mind.
So
yeah.
Actual worldly sensual pleasure thoughts were coming to him.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
And then second jhana, you said that there were some disturbances coming that were, you said maybe thoughts coming or disturbances. What kind of?
No, there are the disturbance. Maybe it is not really the thoughts actually.
Okay.
If we say thoughts is too much gross, because in the first jhana, thoughts are fully abandoned.
Yes.
That was the issue in the first jhana while he was practicing it.
Yeah.
Still the thoughts of sensuality has come. Now,
okay.
So Buddha asked him to abandon them.
Okay.
Now assume that he has perfected the first jhana. Now he started practicing the second. But some segments of first jhana, some marks, signs of first jhana again and again disturbing the second jhana.
Okay.
So they are, you know, we have abandoned vitakka vichara. So you are supposed to fully fixed with the object, but you can't maintain that fixation for a long time, you again get drifted. You go into the object and you do the kind of an examination.
Yeah.
So that discrepancy is still he has noticed, not yet perfect.
He's still doing that in the second jhana.
Trying. Yeah. He wants to make it perfect. Once you are there, you need to steady the mind. You need to completely 100% fixed with the object.
Yeah,
but it is not yet firm there.
Yes.
So the still some segments of first jhana is interrupting him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante. So then it seems like the jhanas sound to me like it's sort of, they call it the first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, but actually it's just a deepening of this jhanic experience, and at different levels you give up certain aspects of the previous level.
Exactly.
And so there was one other thing. I guess that was pretty much it. Just that this sort of dropping, and so in a way, what the mind tends to do is get fixed on these new experiences in various jhanas, like the rapture is very strong in the second jhana, I believe. And
correct.
So you have to not get fixated on that, otherwise you get stuck in the second jhana.
Correct.
So the Buddha's advising to give up these certain aspects that can trap us in staying in one particular jhana.
No, actually, no. Buddha particularly didn't... Buddha, actually, Moggallana himself was the one decided to, okay, I want to achieve the second jhana. By abandoning first, okay, I have noticed certain disadvantages of the first jhana. Now I want to achieve the second jhana. He is now trying to make it perfect, but still not perfect.
Yeah.
So Buddha has noticed it. So Buddha has pointed it out. So it's actually the practitioner himself is the one who decides to shift to the or progress towards the next jhana. Mm-hmm. Because he has, actually the point with the jhana is that it is not that immediately that you notice the discrepancies. Mm-hmm. You notice the disadvantages. Mm-hmm. So while you are in the first jhana for a while, for a long time maybe, mm-hmm. there you start feeling its disadvantages, not immediately.
Yes.
Because your mind has to come to a fairly refined level, then only you start recognizing the shortcomings of the first jhana.
Yeah.
Say then say you abandon those shortcomings and now you achieve second jhana. You can't immediately feel the shortcomings of the second jhana because still you are new to the second jhana.
Yes, yes.
So you might even get the disturbance from the first jhana either, as happened to the Venerable Moggallana here.
Yes, yes.
Assume now you dwell in second jhana for a while, say several days, several weeks, probably stay there in the second jhana. It is now your kind of posture, more and more you are there. Now as you are maturing there, you now start because your mind now get refined to that level. Mm-hmm. Your mind get more and more refined to that level, second jhana level.
Yes, yes.
There you start feeling the shortcomings of the second jhana.
Yes.
Now you have a tendency, okay, let me go to the third, which is free from the shortcomings of the second jhana. So that is how typically it happens.
But the Buddha helps him a little bit by saying you're still getting...
impediments or certain shades of the first jhana you are still getting while you are in the second.
Yeah.
So Buddha has noticed that and he is instructing Venerable Moggallana.
Okay.
But actually Venerable Moggallana himself has decided to come to the second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah. Nandana, please go ahead.
So, Chandiva asked a question. And then I can give Nandana the opportunity to ask the question. Is that fine?
Sure.
Okay. Most respected Bhante, when participating in meditation as Vipassana yogi and doing Chittanupassana level, is it required to practice samatha again to get the jhanic experience? Kindly advise. Teruvan Saranai.
No, it depends on the yogi. Actually, certain yogis are there who have the capacity to switch from vipassana to samatha. But certain others actually find it as a kind of a disadvantage or find kind of a distraction and going against one's vipassana. So their approach is different. They want to continue their vipassana without getting to or switching to samatha. Rather, they avoid samatha. So that is, there are both sides, some advantages and disadvantages. Now, if we look at from the vipassana point of view, the second approach is much better because he wants to continue one's vipassana as quickly as possible, to attack the defilements as quickly as possible, to abandon the defilements as quickly as possible. So that is his primary goal. No harm. You can do that. Another yogi is there while dwelling in vipassana. Still, you know that anapanasati nimitta, time to time coming and it is popping up. And these kind of things are there. So it's a kind of an invitation available for you to enjoy even the samatha side. Because sometimes vipassana practice can become very dry. On such cases, having once a while experience, samatha experience, may be a kind of a joy for one to continue one's practice. So there are such yogis who have this dual type of ability. So samatha some of the type of facilities are also available. Vipassana is what now is one is continuing. Therefore, you have the choice either to continue or little bit of take a break and spend some time in the jhana. So therefore, it depends on the yogi. So there is no rule as such, but it depends on the yogi. Now, the one who has jhana as well as vipassana may be the one actually, one can say, ultimately one is continuing to the arahant level with the uputo bhaga vimutta, where the jhanic experience is also there and the vipassana experience is also there. So one, when assume that one attained full enlightenment, so jhanic practice also he has mastered, vipassana practice also he has mastered, so that he was able to completely cut off all the defilements. But there are the other ones, the majority ones are the panyayumutta, where there are no mastery of jhana, but they were able to cut off all the defilements through vipassana.
Very good. Thank you very much, Pante. And then, Nandana, you can unmute and ask your question.
Thank you, Vishan. Thank you, Pante, for the teachings today.
Yep.
I have two questions, actually. One, the first question I have is that it just occurred to me that it looks like that in the fourth jhana, the prominent or predominant mind state seems to be upekkha, right? Pante.
Mm-hmm. Correct, yes.
So I'm trying to say, because when we are doing satipatthana practice in the cittanupassana, and then we go into bhojanga dhammas, and one of the bhojanga dhammas is equanimity.
Correct.
And so if you stay, obviously bhojanga dhammas, when you're examining your mind during the bhojanga dhamma practice, your mind can rest or your mind can recognize the mostly the state of upekkha or equanimity as one of the bhojanga dhammas. And when you're experiencing upekkha during that kind of a meditation, I wonder whether, staying there for a long period and being aware of the upekkha for a long period and having experienced the upekkha in the mind, and if one stays there long enough, can you say that person can experience the fourth jhana? Can it lead to fourth jhana?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question, by the way. Now, in the satipatthana practice, as you said, as one is continuing bhojangas, developing bhojangas, one achieves the upekkha only when one is fully accomplished in the, the examination part of the objects. Now, there's a gradual progression in the bhojanga. You start with mindfulness, and then you encourage dhamma vichaya. But in order to do that, you need to have the very well balanced and full continuous virya, the effort. You come to the virya sambojjhanga, and once you are successful, then you get the piti and passaddi. Piti is the rapture, passaddi is the tranquility. Now, when that is also there, now samadhi is there, concentration is also there, again and again various objects are appearing, again and again your mind is applied to that. You do the proper examination, the whole information now also available. Probably you see it's the phenomena, how they are coming in or arising, and how they are changing and passing away. Another phenomena appearing, again you apply your mind, you do the examination, and you see how it is arising, passing away. Another object appearing, arising, passing away. Now this process continuing, and while this process is continuing, basically later time actually mind takes on. Now you don't need to train the mind has fully trained in this process. various way, different kinds of, assume that you do the kind of Vedana Anupassana, different kinds of feelings are arising again and again, mind is naturally get focused to the newly arisen feeling, it does the examination and it is maintaining the proper balance and you feel happy, little contented, all that is there. Now mind is taking over and it's continuing its properly. Mind, now the mind has trained to do that. Now you don't have to do anything because mind has taken over the whole process. Now you will become equanimous. Now the equanimous we are talking here and the equanimity that we are talking at the jhanic level is completely different.
I see. I wonder, Bhante, can you are you able to explain how they differ?
Define the sense. What? Yeah. Define the sense. Now, if I mean, you can see in the vipassana type of upekkha, here actually upekkha also is evolving. Now here I have explained the upekkha where the mind is continuing this process properly, thoroughly, comprehensively, and all the details of the phenomena are available to you and you see their nature, that their true nature, their true behavior. So kind of a wisdom practice. Now that wisdom is actually developing another kind of equanimity where you understand their true nature, how impermanent they are, how unsatisfactory they are, how non-governable, non-self they are. Now another kind of equanimity is there later, but not at the beginning. At the beginning, what you have the equanimity is simply you don't need to do any adjustments now, any refinements now, because the mind has taken over the whole process. Mind is well trained to do that. Now you don't need to interrupt the process now. You simply take the back seat. So that is one level of equanimity we are talking there. Later, as a result of this whole process, as a result of the wisdom arisen, you become equanimous towards the mental factors, or you become equanimous towards all the conditioned factors. Sankharupekka, where the all formations, you become equanimous. That is completely influenced by the wisdom, because you understood the nature of all the phenomena, and now you don't need to interrupt any phenomena. That's, you can see that evolution of the equanimity is very, very, you know, substantial. At the beginning, you train the mind. Now you don't need to do any interruptions. You don't need to do any adjustments because mind is fully trained. You become equanimous now. Later, as continuously this process happens, now you develop wisdom. You understand the impermanent suffering and non-self. As a result of that, you give up the interruptions, not only in this process, rather in the whole type of sankhara, whole type of conditioned phenomena, because you understood its true nature. Now you are equanimous towards all the formations. So the equanimity in Bodhisattva is actually growing in a wider scope. Now in the jhanic, equanimity is quite different, where you are talking there about the feeling tone. You understood, okay, the first jhana I have vitakka vichara pitsuka ekaggata. Vitakka vichara is little disturbing. So you abandoned that, you achieve the second jhana. Second jhana, more piti, more rapture is there. That's a pressure. Now you want to abandon that because you want some mature happiness. So you achieve the third jhana. Mature type of stable happiness is there. Now here we are talking about the feeling happiness is there. Now while once you achieve the fourth jhana, you want to abandon this feeling happiness, instead you want to have equanimous feeling. Previously happiness feeling, now equanimous feeling. Now feeling is the equanimity, not your understanding the equanimity, rather the feeling equanimity is there. So it's a kind of a very, you know, very narrow in a sense. You are not supported by wisdom. You are simply, you are talking about here the equanimity feeling. That's all.
Right. I think I understand. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm also thinking maybe the equanimity, the type of equanimity that we develop in our Brahma Vihara practice is also similar to the Samatha equanimity. Is it correct, do you think?
I feel it has little mixture in a way. It's also a very good question. Now, in the Upekkha, what you call the Brahma Vihara, Upekkha Brahma Vihara, the main concern is that you accept the karma. Now, in the metta, you want to make someone happy and you wish that happiness towards the other one through loving kindness. Then the mudita, you wish someone happiness through altruistic joy. You like someone's happiness, you like someone's success. So that's another type of altruistic joy related type of happiness. Then karuna, the compassion. Someone is going through some suffering and you want to arouse some empathy, compassion, all that. And another kind of practice. But in the upekkha, you come to a conclusion, okay, I mean, I can't control any of these. People are subjected to their own karma. So they go through happiness, they go through pain as a result of their karma. So you accept this karma and you become equanimous. So the basic understanding is based on the karma, but not like in the vipassana, it is not that you become equanimous by knowing thoroughly the true nature of phenomena. Rather, you simply accept the karma as an one operating, guiding, principle, and you simply, rather than being happy or unhappy or anything, you become equanimous because you allow karma to operate. So that is the equanimity we are talking at the Upekkha Brahma Vihara level. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So it is almost like another different kind of upekkha, I think.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is mentioned kammasaka sabbe satta. Kammasaka. Kammasaka means that they own their own karma. So that is the one actually you are going. That is how you go through happiness and pain. So that the emphasis is given to the karma and you become equanimous.
Thank you so much, Father. Yeah, that is very, very clear to me. And I have never practiced jhanas. I mean, I have never made an intention to practice a jhana or anything like that. I don't think I have ever even attempted that practice. I'm just wondering, because I have done satipatthana, when I'm doing the sarvat satipatthana anapanasati, often you have this like a duality in the anapanasati also, in the sense it can go one way or the other almost to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like it can go towards vipassana, almost like satipatthana practice, but it can also go towards the samatha, like ekaggata samadhi practice. I am just wondering. So, from what you explained today, Venerable Moggallana's experience and the Buddha's conversation with Venerable Moggallana. Now, you explained it by saying first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. Is it possible for one to stay in the first jhana without making that intention, as you said, to go to the second and the third and all? Just stay in the first jhana for a longer period and, master it so much and able to kind of make the mind really, really, really concentrated and develop so much samadhi that can one proceed to the fourth jhana without going to second and third?
Huh.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, actually you can, one can stay in first jhana for longer time. So that's why accordingly the Brahma realms are categorized. There are three Brahma realms with respect to the first jhana. Brahma Parisajja, Brahma Purohita, Mahabrahma. So those are the three Brahma realms corresponding to the first jhana. If one achieves the first jhana to some extent, only that he is mastering, and he can attain the Brahma Parisajja. after the death. Now, say one practice first jhana even much better level, and then one can attain the Brahma Purohita level, Brahma Purohita Brahma realm. If one has fully mastered it and fairly deep, then one can be get into the Maha Brahma, Brahma realm. So this is how the jhanas, as I mentioned at the beginning, so it's, even though it is the first jhana, depending on the depth, the level of the corresponding rebirth is also defined. So either you come to the first, what kind of Brahma realm, also depending on the depth and the proficiency of the first jhana. So this kind of change, I mean, some information are there. Now the jumping from first to fourth, I feel it is not immediately possible. Now typically what one does is, one needs to gradually practice. You stay in the first jhana for a long time and you master it. Actually this is a long-term practice, even though I am just superficially touching these things. Please remember, it's taking long time. Now it is not a 1 week practice or 2 weeks practice, but one has to achieve first jhana, stay there, fully stay there, and you have to stay there for say 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 1 hour. So likewise, you have to spend time there, you need to familiarize with it, with there. Then only actually typically teachers are advised to check even the jhana factors. Because immediately if one attempts to check the jhana factors, it is detrimental to your practice. Later, once you are proficient in the first jhana, then you can verify what are the jhana factors available. Because in order to verify what are the jhana factors available, you need to little disturb the jhana. It can be detrimental to the jhana. But later, when you are proficient in it, so this reflection might not really disturb, because you can quickly retain it, quickly revert it back. So that is one area. And even in the first jhana, I'll try to get those information. Typically in the jhana mastery, there are 5 kind of jhana masteries there. Say, when you want, you should be able to attain. That is one thing. And once you attain, you should be able to stay there as you wish. Whatever the time period, if you want, you should be able to stay there. That's another aspect. And when you want to emerge from it, come out of it, you should be able to come out immediately. That's another skill that we are developing in the jhana mastery. And reflection of the jhana factors and reflection on all that, that's another mastery. So likewise, 5 types of jhana mastery is there. So if one is thoroughly into the samatha practice, typically one is not encouraged to get into the second jhana without properly mastering the first jhana. And then only if one practices first jhana thoroughly, then one is encouraged, one naturally might be tempted to even get into the second, and then you are mastering the second. Later you are mastering the third. Later you are mastering the fourth. Now you have some experiential knowledge on first, second, third, fourth. And one has to continue that practice for a long, long time without abandoning any of these. So you have stay some time in the first, then get into the second, then get into the third, end up in the fourth, and you master the fourth. So likewise, one is become more and more familiar with all, and later there may be a possibility to jump. So that is another type of practice. It is not simply that you at the very beginning you can jump without any knowledge about the jhana factors or, you know, second, third, any of these, you can quickly jump to fourth. Rather, slowly you do the mastery, and then later, once you have full experiential knowledge of all 4, probably you can do some sort of another type of level of mastery, from jumping from 1 to 2nd, again say 2nd to 3rd, 3rd to 4th, 4th to 3rd, 3rd to 2nd, 2nd to 1st, either in the ascending order, descending order, in an ad hoc order. All these are, you know, the complete mastery of jhana. Not an easy task. It's a lifetime job.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, but that question was actually not related to my practice.
Yes.
It was not based on my practice at all. I just was curious to kind of find out that aspect.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Vantir. Sadhu.
Yeah.
So, Bhante, I don't have any other questions, but I myself have several questions around the jhanic experience and jhanic. So let me go through this, and the way I have experienced and the way I have sort of bringing into practice as well.
Mm-hmm.
How important is one to sort of develop the jhanic experience in order to attain the final destination of nirvana?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that actually there are certain views about it, and some say, okay, you can't even achieve sotapanna without jhanic experience. But on the other hand, many teachers are telling you don't need jhanic experience to attain sotapanna. That is one area. Another fairly strong belief is that if you want to attain anagami, you need fair support of jhanic experience, and then only you can attain the anagami level, non-returner level. That is another opinion sometimes teachers are emphasizing. And on the other hand, as I mentioned, with respect to the categories of arahants, there are two prominent categories mentioned as the Panyayamutta and then the Upatobhaga Vimutta. Panyayamutta arahants don't have any arupa jhanic experience. They are not masters in arupa jhana. Upatobhaga Vimutta ones have all rupa jhana as well as arupa jhana. All mastery of jhana is there with the Upatobhaga Vimutta arahants. In general, both of them are having the Panyayamutta part. Complete eradication of defilements, complete eradication of asavas are common to both. So therefore, in general, we can say, and another argument is, so while you practice vipassana, these jhanic factors are readily available. That's another area one can look at. Say we simply think about jhana in samatha, but certain teachers argue, okay, while practicing vipassana, still you have all these jhanic factors. Say for example, you are practicing vedanupassana. You are applying your mind to again and again to various feelings. So the applied mind is there, vitakka is there. And not only you do that, you do a penetrative look, you find out all the details of each and every feeling, so the vichara is also there. And once this process becomes more and more successful, well trained, you arouse piti and you arouse sukha. So piti sukha is also there. And again and again, mind get concentrated to each and every phenomena, ekaggata is also there. But the difference is that ekaggata is phenomena dependent. You stay on a particular phenomena till that exists, and then you change to another phenomena till that exists. So likewise. Anyway, the jhana factors are there. Vitakka, vichara, piti, sukha, ekaggata, all five factors are there. But in the jhana, typical samatha jhana, actually the phenomena is not the one determining your type of absorption or the concentration, but you are maintaining your concentration purposely on a single object. You are not taking any conditioned phenomena. Rather, you are very much like taking a kind of a conventional phenomena. We can say a more pretty type of phenomena, conceptual phenomena. It's a kind of a conceptual practice. Samatha practice is based on concepts. So the objects are fairly steady. Objects are stable. You are not supposed to find out their faults. So there's a difference. But still, one argue, okay, in vipassana also these jhana factors are there.
I understand. If you are a vipassana practitioner, so it's basically you. It experience some of these Preeti, Sukha, Ekagata at certain point in times.
Correct.
Those are basically the flagships for you to identify. These are the places where the jhanic experience are, but not to dwell on them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Would you
we can say so, but as you know, as we explained in the Bojjhanga level, say you may feel piti, sukha, all that, but that is because of the success of your vipassana, not merely because you are absorbed, rather you are quite successful in your practice, the vipassana practice. That's how the piti sukha is now arising. So two different areas that we are talking.
Yes. I have to sort of experience just the practice itself on those jhanic from the samatha side, I guess. I think that's one of the things from this teaching that I can gather more. So thank you, Bhante. I don't have any other questions.
Okay.
Thiruvan Saranai.
Yeah, Thiruvan Saranai. Then we'll wind up the session here, and I cordially invite Venerable Dhamma Vijitha to conduct the sharing of merits.
Thank you, Swaminanda, for your teaching, and may our relatives share in the merits produced by today's teaching. May celestial beings share in the merit produced by today's teaching, and may those celestial beings protect the Dhamma exposition and dispensation of the Buddha and his disciples for a very long time. And perhaps the seeds of the Buddha's teaching that have been planted in our hearts and minds may grow, producing path, fruition, and nibbana. And I invite you to join in the recitation of the traditional Pali verses for sharing the merits. Itta vata cha umhihi sambhitam punya sampadam sabbe deva namodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Itta vata cha umhihi sambhitam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta namodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Itta vata cha umhihi sambhitam punya sampadam sabbe satta namodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasakta cha bhummakta devanaga mahiddhika punyam tang anamoditva chirang rakkantu sasanam. Akasakta cha bhummakta devanaga mahiddhika punyam tang anamoditva chirang rakkantu desanam. Akasakta cha bhummakta devanaga mahiddhika punyam tang anamoditva chirang rakkantu mangparam. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukhita hontu nateo. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukhita hontu nateo. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukhita hontu nateo. Imina punya kammena mame bhavas magamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bhavas magamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bhavas magamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.